What if kittens played the glockenspiel?
Hey there, folks, and welcome back to What If World, the show where your questions and ideas inspire off-the-cuff stories. I'm Mr. Eric, your host, and yes, I am still trapped inside Kathunkel's stomach. So we are gonna finish our two-part interview. We just got so many questions from listeners and patrons across the world, and I wanted to answer as many as I could. And stick around till the very end, because there will be a special announcement.
Well, there's a special announcement right now!
Hey, Fred!
Yes, it is I, Fred the Dog, here to give a big woofy woof shout-out to Ender Guile. Ender writes, I love puppies, I like Fred, and my favorite thing right now is messing with my dog, who has one heck of a name, Christopher Bibbins Walken Alan Rickman Poe. I know, he has so many names, but I love to play with him. Nice talking to you.
Meow, it's my turn to meow out Oliver. Oliver is 8 years old, and he became a patron on his birthday. Happy belated, Oliver. His favorite characters are JF Cat
and me, Fred the Dog.
And his favorite episodes are the G&G episodes. He loves playing video games and playing outside. And he's already formulating his what-if questions.
Well, thank you, Ender and Oliver. And it's about time for us to jump into our interview.
How can you jump in? You're already in my belly.
Yes, for those of you who may not know or haven't listened to the first part of this interview, Kathunkel is a
colossal squidipus of unimaginable horror.
Yeah, that, and there were a lot of questions about the clown museum that is actually inside his stomach for some reason.
So I invited Mr. Eric to come inside for a visit.
So we'll get back to our interview inside the clown museum, inside Kathunkel, after a quick break.
Mr. Eric, you said it would be a quick break, but I didn't see you break anything.
I'm not gonna break anything inside this museum, Kathunkel.
Well, then you are no fun.
But it's your museum.
Yes, full of paintings and sculptures of famous clowns, and also the various hoops and horns and feet and scarves that they have used throughout the centuries.
Well, you know, I think that brings us to our first question from Casper, who asks, why do you like clowns so much?
Because they're funny and sometimes scary, equally likely to make a child laugh or cry, just like me.
Did you know that my mom was a clown for a few years?
She still is, if you ask me.
Is that your non-evil laugh?
Yes, I know it needs work.
It's delightfully strange and uncomfortable, just like you.
Wow, thank you. Just for that, I will share with you this painting that I have of your mother as a clown.
Oh, it's beautiful. And there's my big sister as a kid.
Yes, fleeing in terror from your mother.
Well, we also had a patron named Alex ask, why is there a clown museum in your belly?
Didn't I just answer that?
Well, you told us why you like clowns, but not everyone who likes clowns starts a clown museum, let alone in their stomach.
Well, you see, laughter and tears are two of the most powerful forces in the universe, for strength and healing, for resilience and balance.
Wow.
So these clown artifacts also fuel my magic.
Oh, so it's a power thing.
No, it's a fuel thing. Does anyone ask you why you have a bunch of chewed up nuts and mushy vegetables in your stomach?
You mean food?
Well, it is gross to me, but I accept that you animals must eat non-clown things sometimes, even if I don't quite understand it.
And accepting is one of the first steps toward understanding, so well done. I can tell you all about human food some other time.
Oh, I think I've handled all I can for one day.
Well then, I will feed you a question from Rowan.
Ah, yes. I am also powered by what ifs.
Well, this is more of a what is. As in, what is your favorite exhibit or work of art in your stomach clown museum?
Thank you for asking, Rowan. I may be an all-powerful creature from beyond, but I still sometimes wonder what it would be like to have human things. Which is why I like sticking my tentacles in these giant clown shoes, and putting on this rainbow wig since I have no hair, and sticking this red nose to the mucus upon my face so that it looks like I too have a nose. And these are all part of the Clown Around exhibit. Sometimes I'll give myself infinite tentacles in order to juggle infinite balls.
Oh, that's giving me a headache.
No, it's just expanding your perception so that you can see into the ball juggling dimension.
I don't like it.
What if instead of balls, I was juggling all your worst nightmares? Would that be better?
Why would you think that?
Well, facing your fears is healthy, you always say.
But not all of them at once. Could you just please...
Oh, excuse me. I just really love juggling.
I'm learning so much about you, Kathunkel, and thank you for...
Not melting your brain, yes, of course.
Wait, was that about to happen?
Moving on to our next question.
Well, we do have a lot of questions about your efforts to take over the world, or worlds, in a section I'm calling Domination Dissertation.
That's a real mouthful. And my mouth can eat entire worlds.
We're gonna start off with two more questions from Casper. The first is, why do you always try to take over What If World?
Well, Krama Olm, as you all heard in last week's episode, is an intergalactic eyeless eel-type creature who told me that enough is never enough.
It's not a very healthy message.
But I didn't know that at the time. So I thought that I had to find enough by taking over an entire planet, because then there wouldn't be anything more.
But didn't you forget about
the universe?
And
the multiverse, yes.
And also...
that if I kept telling myself enough is never enough, that it wouldn't matter how much I conquered.
Okay, so you got there.
Eventually.
Casper asks another question, which ties in with a question we got from Olivia. Casper asks, have you ever tried to take over What Is World?
Oh, yes. Go back and listen to episode 41, What If I Had a Carnival at My House? I really did do my darndest to take over What Is World in that one.
And Olivia asks, why haven't you ruled What Is World yet?
It's just so hard. I can get into all the imaginary dimensions so easily, except the ones owned by Disney. But appearing in front of real people, many of whom don't even know who I am, it's just... currently beyond my powers.
Currently?
Well, maybe if kids wore enough Kathunkel t-shirts and socks and backpacks and told all their friends about Kathunkel so that even the grown-ups learned to respect and fear me and buy my merch.
I don't know, Kathunkel. That still kind of sounds like enough is never enough mentality.
Oh, fine. Maybe I just don't need to conquer What Is World.
That's a very healthy attitude. And it also ties in to a question from a patron named Ari, who asked, has Kathunkel ever actually taken over the world?
You know, I'd sort of forgotten, but thankfully, long-time patrons Odysseus and Theda answered Ari's question.
Oh, that's right. Thank you both for your answers. And Odysseus, I hope you're feeling better.
So yes, I did once take over the world with a little help from my friend Molamu in the two-part episode called A Kathunkel Carol.
Episodes 189 and 190.
Yes, it was pretty great.
You might be misremembering parts of that story.
I can't be expected to remember all the lessons I learn.
That actually might be a good time to ask you Willow's question.
Oh, Willow in Manchester? Is she asking a question where I get to eat you again?
How could you possibly eat me? I'm already inside your stomach.
Yes, but so am I.
Wait, yeah, how is that possible?
Oh, it was quite simple, really.
I'm waiting.
Oh, I thought there was going to be a flashback there.
Would you like there to be?
Flashback! There I was, a few minutes ago, after Mr. Eric walked into my belly.
Actually, I've been in here for a week. Are you coming?
It was then that I realized I had never actually been able to get inside my own stomach.
But it's furnished so nicely.
Well, yes. You see, an octopus's arm has its own little brain, and it's very sensitive, and even aware of color.
Okay, so can you finally answer Noah's question? Can you visit the clown museum in your stomach?
I pondered this question for a moment, and then I did what any creature of unimaginable power would do. I looked it up on the internet. Can Krathunkle go inside his own stomach? 9 search results. I have conquered you, World Wide Web. But searching through the vast wisdom of all 9 pages of the internet, I did not learn the answer to my question. The end.
What?
What do you mean, what? You were there.
But how are you here? Inside this clown museum. Inside your own stomach.
That makes a perfect pivot to our interview question from Colin, who asks... Oh, here, you should read this.
Colin asks, why? Just, why?
You're really onto something there, Colin. And my answer is, how?
No, that was my question.
You're really starting to confuse me, Mr. Eric.
Why?
I wonder, why he's inside his own stomach. That squidopus. Did he somehow eat himself? Did he somehow eat himself?
I have to move on from this.
I would expect as much.
So our last segment is called Potperevil.
Lovely.
We start with a question from our patron named Alex, who asks, how do you use the... I thought I got rid of this question.
I put it back. Read it.
Okay. Alex asks, how do you use the bathroom?
Well, there is a funnel-like hole on the side of my mantle, which you might think of as a head, and we call it a siphon. And once I've eaten enough what-if questions and clown paraphernalia and the occasional Mr. Eric, I simply squeeze out a thin noodle of...
You know what? That's plenty. Yep, siphon. Just like an octopus or a squid, and kids can ask their grown-ups if they want to learn more.
I also use my bathroom for juggling.
What?
Well, yes, my fortress of squiditude under Squid Lake. I just take a bunch of the rooms off and I juggle them. It's much easier to juggle underwater.
Right, okay, well, Alex also asks, how do you make funny faces?
By eating a funny clown, next question.
Our patron Noah, age 8, from Miami, asks, what do you do in your downtime when you're not being evil or running your coffee shop?
Well, the Fortress of Squiditude also has a robust cephalopod rehabilitation center where I go to help various tentacled and suction-cupped armed creatures to recover from injuries or illness.
Oh, that's really kind.
Then, of course, there's the juggling in the clown museum.
And maybe we can learn a bit more about your interests with this question from our patron named Lottie. Lottie asked, who's your favorite pop star? And do you like Taylor Swift?
I am glad that the art of quickly making clothes could make someone very popular, but this Swift Taylor is unknown to me.
Taylor Swift. She's one of the biggest pop stars in what is world.
Well, how many stars has she popped? Surely one as powerful as this Taylor must have popped at least 15, 16 stars?
Pop's a kind of music.
Ah, stars do make such an exquisite sound when they explode in the emptiness of a far-off galaxy.
Lottie, that was a great question. I'm just not sure we're getting through to Kavunkle here.
Ask this Taylor if she can sew a clown costume that can accommodate infinite tentacles.
Philip asks, if you could explode anything in What If World, what would it be?
Well, I guess exploding any stars close to What If World would be catastrophic, so my answer is a hot pocket.
A hot pocket?
Yes, they're like little pizza pastries, and you stick them in the microwave, and if they're in there too long, they explode, making a mess of it, and boil the inside of your mouth as you eat it.
Sounds awful.
Oh, for a human it would be excruciating, yes.
Kids, make sure to always leave your Hot Pockets to cool for a while. And don't explode them in your microwave.
No, only I am allowed to explode things. Like stars and pizza pastries.
I don't know if allowed is accurate. This was more of a hypothetical question.
Look, Keelan sent in a question just today.
Oh, thank you, Keelan.
We get so many great questions from siblings Colin and Keelan. Okay, this one says, what if Kathunkle's best new coffee flavor, was Mr. Eric flavored?
Yes, it's back on the menu.
No. Keelan, you got me.
This is a good thing, Mr. Eric. So many of my colossal horror from beyond friends have been asking if they could take a turn eating you.
Why are they asking you for that permission?
And anyway, now they can just try the coffee.
Finally, Willow in Manchester asks a question.
Yes?
Not about anyone getting eaten. Willow asks, who is bigger, you or Dracomax?
Oh, it is me for definitely. I am stuck in Kathunkle's fortress right now, so I must be bigger than him.
Oh no, let's not do this. Dracomax's voice is too similar to mine. We've been over it, Mr. Eric.
He is just touchy because I am bigger than him.
No, I can grow to any size I want.
And I can breathe out any kind of dragon breath, including an ambiguifying breath that makes me bigger than you again.
Well, then I could just go out and find an uninhabited planet to eat and get even bigger after I eat that.
Then I could breathe out an uninhabited galaxy and eat all of that.
No, nothing's getting eaten. Dracomax, we'll get you unstuck later. There's plenty of slimy squids down there, so they can help.
Okay, great.
And Kathunkle, we've just got one last question, also from Willow, who asks, what would you do if you became president?
Sorry. Reflex.
Was that your final answer?
I'd try to make it a more just world for all creatures. And since I can grow unlimited ears,
but not one single clown nose,
I can listen to all of their great ideas and try to find compromises without bending to the forces of intolerance.
That sounds pretty great.
Also, I've got Abacus still trapped in this crystal ball, so if anyone disagrees with me, I can just, like, turn them into a robot or send them into the whirlpool. Well, they'll never be seen from again.
That's a joke, right, Kathunkle?
Haha, of course it's a joke. I'm laughing again with my very natural laughing sound. Oh, good. That's a funny joke, Kathunkle. Now just let me out of the crystal ball, please.
Abacus, I'm so sorry. Folks, you might remember that he got stuck in a crystal ball 2 episodes ago, and here I am interviewing Kathunkle instead of trying to free you.
Oh, don't worry about it, Mr. Eric. You are powerless to help me.
I could probably help a little.
No, it will take a what if question to free me, I'm sure. Or Kathunkle not going mad with power for a change.
Mad with power? Wait, are you saying?
Mr. Eric, you might as well tell him.
Yes, Crystal Ball Abacus is right. Kathunkle, you are the next president of What If World.
Yee ho 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 ha ha ha. Ha 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 hee ha 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 ho ho ha. I'm overjoyed.
The end. Well, folks, you heard the big news, so let's just keep those what-if questions kind, okay? We know Kathunkel has learned a lot from his mistakes in the past.
I did painlessly teleport you back to your studio, Mr. Eric, remember?
Yes, thank you. I went 2 whole stories without getting eaten by anyone, although it was talked about quite a bit. I want to thank Karen O'Keefe, my co-creator, Miss Lynn, my producer, Craig Martinson for our theme song, everyone who voted across Instagram, email, Patreon, and even call-in questions, and all you kids at home who know that we get 1,000 chances a day to make good choices, and nobody gets them all right.
Not even Kathunkel.
Until we meet again, keep wondering.
The International Children's Arts Network is community funded, supported by listeners like you, and by a grant from the Joyce N. Furman Memorial Trust, celebrating a lifetime of giving to children, education, and the arts.